Well, now let us turn to the Paul's Epistle to Hebrews, chapter 11, and the 7th verse. Paul's Epistle to Hebrews, chapter 11, and the 7th verse. By faith, Noah, being warned of God, of things not seen as yet, moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house, by the which he condemned the world, and became heir of the righteousness which is by faith. There are those upon this earth who know God, and those who do not. And as we gather around God's word today, we may be so satisfied that we know God. We may know Him, but only know Him with a head knowledge. We often may come to the conclusion that we know a person because we've met them so many times. As time goes on, there are those things which we see in their lives that we have to realize we didn't know them after all. We only thought we knew them. It will be a very sad day if we come to the end of life's journey and we have to come to this conclusion that although we thought we knew God, that we were wrong. We only thought we knew Him. Now, it's sad to say that in the religious world today, including our own denomination, there is a lack of true and living faith. Very solemn when we come to consider, because it doesn't matter how much religion we have, or what we may call ourselves, if we have no faith, well then we know nothing. There are many today who profess to worship God, many who call themselves the Lord's servants, and they know nothing whatever of true living faith. So we have to put the question to ourselves, what do we know of faith? Now as we enter another year, there will be those things which we may compare this verse, by faith Noah being warned of God of things not seen as yet. There will be things which will take place if we are spared and the Lord tarries in the coming year, which as yet are not seen. And when they do come, they may bring happiness or they may bring sorrow. But this we do know, that there will be certain things which we shall see only in 1981 we've never seen before. And our past life has gone. Aren't you thankful that our life has not completely gone, that we're still upon praying ground? So that we may know something of true and living faith. Have you ever thought how awful it would be that we've been taken in the past year and not known anything of God, of right? Now man today, he's built a wonderful religion, but it's built upon man, man's opinions, man's thoughts, what man can do and what man cannot do. And therefore, the religion of today is that which is mentioned in the scriptures, the religion of men pleases. It's far better for you and I to be like Noah, who was one on his own. Noah didn't have many friends, but he had the best friend that was possible to have. He had God as his friend. God talked to him. God talks to his people today. And God warned him. God warned him with regard to those things that were going to take place upon the earth. How little do we hear of warnings today with regard to the world? We hear of warnings perhaps given to those in authority. But how often do we hear the trumpet blown warning those that God is coming again upon this earth? It's all very well to say that, well, of course, Noah, he built this ark, it was so long ago, but God has promised to come again. And he's a faithful God. He's a God that keeps his promises. He's coming again. It may be very, very soon. And if we have faith to believe the scriptures, it would appear very evident that we're living in those times which are mentioned, when men's hearts are failing because of fear, when the armies are surrounding Israel. God says, when these things begin to take place, look up. Not to look down, look up. Now you and I, however young we may be, however old we may be, have got to stand before God one day. And we've got to hear God's voice. And we should hear it in such a way as we've never heard it before. We should hear it as heard not before. And it will be the final word. It will be either, come in, thou blessed the Lord, or depart ye cursed. I never knew you. And there's not one of us that escaped. We've got to stand before this God. Now Noah was warned of God. Now the trouble with the religious world today, whilst they are warned of God, they will not take heed to the warning. Their hearts are so hard. They have so much unbelief within their hearts. And they say, well, of course, if we follow this man, follow that man, or we follow this teaching, or follow that teaching, well, everything will be all right. There's no need for us to worry. You know, Satan is a great enemy to the whole of the human race. And how men do not realize the awful power that Satan has. He has power to deceive. And if it were possible, he would deceive even God's people. Now how do we know then whether we are rightly taught and whether we really believe in this God? The center of true religion is faith. But now some years ago when I was very ill and in deep trouble, a man who I looked to as being a very godly, gracious man said to me, all you can do at a time like this is to rest upon faith. Well, you can't rest upon something you haven't got, and I haven't got faith. Not at that particular time. I had had faith. I had an abundance of faith, but I had lost the substance of it, lost the reality of it. But faith is that when you absolutely believe in a thing, especially true faith is when you believe in a thing and you cannot possibly be moved from it. I've been reading recently a book which has only just been published that speaks about the early churches, the way in which the churches have been built. That is, by people, not by the actual building. And how those men of old, going right back through the centuries, Luther, Calvin, and the martyrs, what they went through, the faith they were given. And when we come to consider that to our own religion, and the religion of today, how we find it so much lacking. And then we look at Job, in the midst of his troubles, where he believed in God to such an extent that he said, though he slay me, yet will I trust in thee. And then in this very chapter, we're reminded of Abraham, where he told Isaac, and thought of that, maybe the way in which he took Isaac was a great blessing to know anything of this God, where we can take those promises which God has given. And to know those promises are so sound, so sure, to have faith in what God has told us, that we can even take the promises as he took Isaac and laid him on that altar, knowing that this God was such a powerful God that he could raise him up again, even if he took his life by faith. Now that, then, is what faith is. It's that where we believe in God to such an extent that we know that he can do everything that we ask him, and that he controls everything upon this earth, and that we've sinned against him, and yet we know that if it's his will, he can cause us to repent, to draw nigh unto him. Now, why did the law work in the days of old different to the days that we're living in now? When his ears made multiplied upon the earth, they got worse, didn't they? That's just what's happening today. As men multiply upon the earth, they go their own way. They don't want to know anything about God. And there are those who are quite satisfied in going to a place of worship once or twice a week. There are others who are very devout, very sincere. They read their Bibles every morning and every night. They pray every morning and every night. But they're still destitute of grace. Still know nothing of true and living faith. You see, they're trusting in what they do. Now, it's very good and it's very profitable if we're able to read our Bibles morning and night, to pray morning and night. But how often do you find it profitable? How easy can it become formal? How can it become dead? Well, there is such a thing as reading your Bible in such a way that it becomes life and power and reality to you. And God speaks to his people through his word. Now that means we're not to neglect it. We're not to neglect the reading of God's word, because God speaks through his word to his people. He uses his word for that purpose. But don't let us rest satisfied because we read God's word morning and night, or because we read it from beginning to end, or have read it from beginning to end so many times, that we're all right, we're quite safe. Because until we've been warned of God of things not seen as yet, I'm sure of this, that if those around us today knew what was before them, if they died in their sin, they wouldn't be as comfortable, they wouldn't enjoy life as they are enjoying it. And when one is warned of God, whatever God does is perfect. And one is brought to believe beyond all doubt that there is a heaven and a hell, two places which are put in the background today, heaven and hell, but they are a reality. And you and I have to spend eternity in one or the other. And therefore, we'd be most foolish not to consider what our religion is all about, because that's what it is about. and hell, one or the other. Now Satan is so crafty, so clever. He's just as happy to have hell full of religious people as he is of ungodly people, murderers, thieves, and so on, blasphemers. Doesn't worry him as long as he can have them. And there's a lot of religious people now in hell, been religious all their life, born religious, as it were, in religious homes, live a religious life, and they die religious, sunk into hell. I'll tell you why. Because they never had faith. The faith is the most important thing in religion. Now we use religion as a word which is used generally to speak with regard to salvation. Now another person may not know God's word, they never read it, never been brought to understand it, and yet God speaks to them in such a way that they have faith to believe in this God. Now, what do we know then of God? What do we believe? Do we know anything of faith? Oh yes, you see, whenever I know I have faith, and I pray to God, He's made me better, I've had trouble in business, I pray to God, He's heard my prayers and put it right. Yes, but what about your soul? By faith, Noah being warned of God of things not seen as yet, eternity. He was warned. Now I can warn you. As soon as I warn him, forget. He won't take any heed to that warning. However bluntly or plainly I may put it to you. But if God warns you, that's a different matter. If God warns a person with regard to things not seen as yet, well then they'll be made willing to do whatever God will have them do. Now can't you imagine Noah in building this ark? The ridicule would go on. How there'd be great companies coming to see what this man was doing. As there's no sign of water, let alone rain or anything of that, flux, fancy, might be off his head, he's building an ark. What do you think he's going to do with that? But it made no difference to him. How men will say to God's people today, those who know what to live in faith is, there's something wrong with them. You see, the religion of today is light, is easy, is happy. We all join in, all and sundry. That's not true religion. True religion is that where one is warned of God of things not seen as yet. Where one is brought to realize as never before that there is a heaven and there's a hell, and that there is a God, and that we've got to stand before this God. And your religion then becomes very, very small. It's between you and your God. Have you been brought there again? Have you been warned of God? Has God warned you of things not seen as yet? You can see them. You believe them. You know it beyond all doubt. And it's a great concern to you as to how things will be in that day. It's all very well to look around and say, well, of course, this one's all right, that one's all right. What do we see? What do we hear today in the obituaries? They were born on such and such a day. In a godly home, they had godly parents. They attended this place of worship. And you get sick and tired of hearing what they've done and how they were brought up. What about what God has done? Has God warned them of things not seen as yet? It's all very well writing these wonderful lives. But if I know anything, if you're warned of God, your life, you'll see things in your life that are not very wonderful, things you're ashamed of. And they will cause you having been warned of God to flee, to seek something for safety. And so Noah was warned of God, he could not see it yet, he believed it, he had faith to believe it. God told him how to build his ark, and he went about it. Now he worked then under the instructions of God, regardless of what men said. Nothing was stopping. Every nail he drove into that ark, every moment that he worked upon that ark, so the time was coming when that would be necessary. Now what do we see then in this ark? What does it typify? It's something which men cannot see. It's things which men cannot understand. It is a type of Christ. It's a type of the way of salvation. It's where men are warned of God to seek salvation in Christ through his precious blood. That's the only way. We know very little about Noah, but this we do know, that he wasn't chosen to build that ark any more than anyone else, because he was sinless, because he was a good man. We read of Paul, who wrote this epistle to Hebrews, as being a very good, a very wonderful man, a very holy man, a very devout man. But he'd have sunk into hell had it not been that he was warned of God for the way in which he was going. He was trusting in himself, not trusting in the true and living God. If any denomination, not our own, but any denomination, if they could get back to this 11th of Hebrews and had faith in this God as these men and women of old had, how different things would be. Well, so often, God willing this, God willing the other, it's not men. How men can make appointments and cancel appointments and do this and do that just at their own whim. But not if they're working under faith. What a mercy it is to know something of the true and living God, be warned of him. If so, we shall have nothing to do when under the influence of that faith with anything short of it. Now you see, having been warned, he was enabled to do something about it. He heard from God. He began to build. And he took God's word to build upon, not man's word. If he had listened to man, he would never have built that ark. Now, if you listen to men today, you'll never be saved. If you listen to what men tell you, even godly men, if you listen to what they tell you, you'll never be saved. You're resting on that. There's only one way whereby you and I will be saved. And that is by hearing God's word, being warned of him, and then being led by him to build a place of safety. And that place of safety is already built. One put it very nicely, very sweetly like this. He said, on Christ, the solid rock, I stand. All other ground is sinking sand. All of it. We might say, how is it possible for one to be saved? Well, none can be saved apart from Christ. And when God works, he will never warn a person. He will never cause them to seek him without being true to his word. They will find him. By faith, Noah, being warned of God, things not seen as yet, moved with fear, brought fear about in his heart, a godly fear. And the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. And he began to take notice of what God said. One thing that you and I will do, if we've been warned of God, we should be filled with fear, and we should take notice of what God says. We should search his word. And if we search his word, well then, God may put prayer within our hearts. Indeed, he will. Because a fearing soul is a praying soul. We read of two men who went up to pray in the temple. One had been warned of God, the other hadn't. One thanked God quite rightly. What he was, as he thought. In his own mind, he was quite right. So, isn't it? To be so sure and satisfied in our own minds that we're right. He thanked God he was not like other men. And how he despised that public. But I wonder how many of us know what it is to praise something like that poor public who smoked on his breast. That's where his trouble was. And his heart inwardly said, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. He was seeking refuge. He wanted safety. He wanted somewhere where he could hide. By faith, Noah, being warned of God, things not seen as yet, moved with fear. Or as the martyr says, being wary. And if you and I are wary, we should not listen to me. Not even good books. Unless they lead us to Christ. Now it doesn't matter what we believe. If we don't believe in Christ as our only hope of salvation, we should be lost. It doesn't matter how little religion you've got. It doesn't matter how little faith you've got, so long as it's true, you'll be saved at last. Being warned of God, moved with fear, prepared an ark for the saving of his house. Now what does that mean, his house? All that he possessed. Now he was saved. His body was saved so that mankind would be saved upon the earth. But when the Lord comes again, that second coming, none will be saved as Noah were, the bodies won't be saved. But what does it matter with regard to our bodies? It's our souls that matter. Our souls go on living after death. It matters not what man may do. He can destroy the body, but he can never destroy the soul. God can destroy both. The body and soul. That soul, once it's destroyed, can never, and that word destroy it before God it means, can never approach God. Now you and I, as we enter upon this year, we're favored souls because we're still upon praying ground. What a blessing it is to have faith to believe in prayer, whereby we can come and wrestle with God. One of our hymn writers puts it like this: wrestling prayer can wonders do, bring relief in deepest straits. Prayer can force a passage through iron bars. Prayers and gates. Well then, it's one thing to say we believe in this God and have faith in this God. If we have got faith and if we believe in this God, well then that faith will be tested. I have faith to believe that I get here this morning in my car. because I know that God is capable of moving. I'm testing it. And although I have faith in it, it's quite possible that faith would be unfounded. Because there are such things as breakdowns. But where God gives faith, true living faith, nothing can hinder him, nothing can alter him. And if we give faith and believe in him and pray to him, that prayer, the prayer of a righteous man, we know that it speaks with regard to the Lord Jesus, of heaven much. But your prayers will be channeled through Christ. If you're moved by fear, seek salvation in Christ. Now you see, there's so much today based upon what man is, how good he is. But how seldom do we hear how bad man is? And yet we're all as bad as each other. You look at the most sinful man upon the face of this earth, the crimes he's committed, God's word, it makes you equal with him. That's what we believe. Because all have sinned and all come short of the glory of God. And therefore, as sinners, we're all equal. Have we been warned of God this? And then, as we read God's word, of those who are taught by his Holy Spirit to seek salvation through him. Now you see, we would never seek salvation. We would never have faith in God had we not been born of him. The greatest blessing you and I ever possess, the greatest blessing I could ever wish anyone is this, that you might be born of God. If there's one here this morning who's been born of God, and you're concerned, because you see yourself in the light of God's word, sinner, you realize the weakness of your flesh, and as you see others who are so proud of their religion, so proud of what they do, that you can't come up to their standard. Or you say, no wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of his death? What a mercy then to know something of the presence of Christ. Now, when Noah built this ark, when it was completed, he entered in, and God shut him in. Those who are warned of God will seek salvation from God. And God has an ark in his dear Son. And those who are in Christ will be shut in eternally with him. What a blessing it is to know anything of the scriptures, how we can see the gospel going right back to Genesis, the way in which the Lord looked upon some and how he left others, how you see with Hagar, how she was the born woman, and how Abraham had a child of the flesh, but Isaac, you see, was a child of promise. He had faith to believe that God could do that. It was absolutely impossible. Is there anything more impossible to one who is warned of God being saved at last? You can understand this one being saved. You can understand that godly soul being saved, but you can't believe that you'll be saved. Sarah, and Abraham, although they laughed, yet they were given faith to believe eventually that God would bring that promise about. So enough, Isaac was born. Although, naturally speaking, it's impossible. As we read this chapter, those things which were impossible for the Lord be. What hope there is for those who look somewhere, and yet they know not where, for salvation. Why, it is impossible that God would look to them. We see some of the rubbish today that man looks to for salvation. And yet, when one's eyes are open, and they're able to see the scriptures, the gospel's so simple. It's that faith in the Lord Jesus whereby one is able to look to him having been warned of God, and they see him as the only way of salvation, no other way. And where they put their trust completely in him. And then when your hope and your trust is in him and him alone, that faith will be rewarded. You'll see things so different to what they are now. You'll see things in a different light altogether, where death is so ghastly, where man does not want to hear about death, yet death, to those who are taught the word of God, is a blessed time. It is a time which those who are the influence of faith and the work of the Holy Spirit anticipate, and where they look forward to it. Now, we're not always in the exercise of faith, we're not always feeling the reality of faith, but there will be times when those who have been warned of God will eventually look forward to that time when they will be like him. Because by faith they will be brought to love him. We cannot possibly know anything of the love of God until we're warned of God and then led to the Lord Jesus. Or may it be our desire, may God give us that faith to believe in him in such a way that whatever may be before us, we shall look to this God. However impossible it may be to you and I, may we have faith to believe that the God that we worship is that God who can do everything. Now, I'm talking from experience. I'm not talking to you of what I've read. I'm speaking to you and you young friends too of how God works within the hearts of children, young men and young women. How there's that going on and they cannot understand what it is at times. But it's God working, warning them, preparing them for this life and for life to come. Solemn, isn't it? If you and I are going on careless with regard to the warnings in God's word, but may we be able to take heed to his warnings. And may we know what true and living faith is by blessed experience. We must leave it for the time being. May the Lord have his blessing. Amen.